Amy will share our scripture reading with us.
Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. All that time she began ill and died. They had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunic and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed to her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner.
Thank you, Amy. It's Mother's Day, and I'm very aware that Mother's Day and Father's Day can be complicated holidays for many people in different ways. Hard to know how to celebrate, and sometimes, and maybe this week I find it particularly ironic that we're just so close to all this news about the Supreme Court, where we're thinking about women who might be compelled to be mothers against their will, that we're celebrating Mother's Day. But on a much more personal level, of course, Mother's Day can bring all sorts of emotions. My mother died on May 5th, and this was the 5th year anniversary. So it's always going to come close to Mother's Day. But I do think it is also a Sunday when we as a church family can celebrate all the women and all the things, aspects of whatever you want to call feminine energies, celebrate all of that and who we are as a church family. So it was a nice synchronicity, I felt, when I looked at the lectionary readings for this week and saw one of them was a story about a woman. But I have to tell you that before I'd even decided to use this reading, on Tuesday in the office, Shella saying, "What's Bible study going to be this evening? I need to put it out in the email." And I'm like, let me think a minute. And I'm looking, and she says, "Why don't you do Dorcas?" And I said, "That's one of the readings." And she didn't know it was one of the readings. She just likes Dorcas. So I'm like, okay, I guess that's some kind of sign from the Spirit. I suppose I'm supposed to do Dorcas. Dorcas is one of our saints. Some of you are pointing. That one there in the stained glass, the first one here. You can actually read her name above, in a little above the head, Dorcas. And you see on her lap that she's holding garments, and I think maybe that's a basket of fruit next to her. On the other hand, it could be a basket of balls of yarn. Who knows? Anyway, Dorcas with the fabric she'd made. I love that 4 of our 6 stained glass figures are women, put in a church that was built in 1890. I would just love to know the stories behind the choices and the stories around how that happened. And I don't think we really have that anywhere. So I will say my other favorite is Agnes. I don't really know much about Agnes, but what I love about Agnes is in the winter when the sun shines at the right time of day in the morning, you can see her on that wall there, and it looks like she's sledding downhill. I like Agnes sledding in our sanctuary. So Dorcas, as the story says, her name was also Tabitha. Tabitha would have been the Aramaic version, which was the common spoken language of the Jewish people in first century Palestine, kind of a dialect with a lot of Hebrew, but with a lot of other stuff sort of added in. And then the other language, which was common everywhere, was of course Greek. So Dorcas means gazelle, Tabitha in Aramaic, Dorcas in Greek. And the fact that this story gives both her names, I think, is a clue that she was a multicultural person, that she knew people who spoke both Aramaic and Greek, which is maybe not surprising, given that she was from Joppa. Joppa is an ancient port on the coast of Mediterranean there, not about, I don't know, a little way, you know, away, a distance from Jerusalem, which is more inland. And Joppa still exists as part, known as Jaffa today, and it's part of, kind of been swallowed up by modern day Tel Aviv. But as a port, it goes back, we know, all the way to the time of Jonah, when Jonah was trying to escape God's call to go to preach to Nineveh. He went to Joppa to get on a ship to try to run away from God. Some people assume that Tabitha, Dorcas, I guess I'll call her Dorcas since that's what we have here, that Dorcas was a widow, but it doesn't really say that. It says she was helping widows. Widows and orphans were some of the most vulnerable people in that patriarchal society because there was no man to speak for them or to represent them. And again throughout the Hebrew scriptures, we read that God has a particular concern for widows and orphans, as well as aliens, foreigners in the land. God is concerned about those who are marginalized and oppressed, those who have no voice in the system. Those were the ones that Dorcas was busy helping. She is a woman who's clearly named as a disciple, a believer in Jesus, a follower of Jesus' teachings. And she clearly seemed to know that this was her ministry, to work with these widows, to help them have the clothes they need, maybe even teaching them how to make clothes. We don't know the full story. We do know that the book of Acts is a story about the early church, that first generation of followers, believers after Jesus' life and death and resurrection, and how they were figuring out what it meant to be church, what it meant to be the body of Christ. Jesus was no longer with them. They had received the Spirit, but they had a lot of things to sort through, a lot of things to figure out. How were they supposed to live? What did it mean to be in community, Jews and Greeks, Gentiles, who could belong, who was allowed to lead? The book of Acts allows us to see them sorting through these questions with the Spirit's leading, as they developed into little churches across the Middle East. So here we see Dorcas, this woman who had found a ministry, hands-on, taking care of the poor and the marginalized, a woman of good works and charity, Luke says, a disciple, and a leader in her community of believers there in Joppa. Dorcas reminds me of someone I have the honor to call my friend, a woman who actually calls me sister. Her name is Kadin Lee. She lives in Rochester and has for about 25 years. She's from Burma. She prefers Burma over Myanmar. She's Kachin. There are many ethnic groups in Myanmar. And she came to Rochester in the 1980s as a student after there was a student uprising and a lot of unrest that happened in Burma. She and her cousin and several others were sponsored through American Baptist connections and came to Rochester to go to college. She met and married Don Lee, who's a Chinese American from New York City. Kadin worked in hospitality industry. She is an amazing cook, hostess, can organize a dinner for 150 at the drop of a hat. She's a member of Lake Avenue Baptist Church where I used to serve. But Don and Kadin never had children. It was the one, I think, real grief in their life. And then the refugees, a huge influx of refugees from Burma, started coming to Rochester in 2008, 2009. And Kadin became the linchpin, the organizing force of the response, not just of our church, but of other churches and individuals and organizations. Catholic Charities was the resettlement agency, but in terms of other efforts working alongside them, Kadin was the force. And she was the perfect bridge person. American enough to know how things work here, and yet still very much deeply Burmese. And she is still doing it. 15 years later, there have been, I don't know the number, probably 2,000 or 3,000 at least refugees from Burma who've been resettled in the Rochester area. And Kadin's efforts have been one of the primary reasons that they have been welcome, that they have been assisted, that they have been resettled. Kadin can be tough, demanding. She'll push people to learn how to do things and fuss at them if they keep trying to rely on her or some other American person to do it for them. And she'll fuss at Americans who want to help, saying we do too much for them, that people need to learn how to do it on their own. But she's also deeply compassionate and tender for those who are struggling, and she can be a fierce advocate for her people. I thought of her because she told me one day that sometimes some of the Burmese folks have asked her why she doesn't have children. Many of the refugees, especially the older women, are very traditional, and they'll say to her, "Why don't you have children?" And she says, "I tell them, you think I could do all this for you if I had children?" She told me God had God's purposes. She knows she's found her calling, her ministry, and her way of being a mother to so many, many, many more people than she could have possibly imagined. I think that was the kind of woman Dorcas was. And when she died, that community of people was devastated. And they had heard that Peter was in a city not too far away, so they sent for him, and he came. And we don't read that they asked him to do anything in particular. They just wanted him to come be with them. The widows all gathered around him, showing him all the things Dorcas had done for them, the clothes she had made for them. They were sharing their grief, their loss. And we read that Peter, after a little while, asked them all to go out of the room. And he knelt down and prayed. And I think it was, again, Peter struggling with, what am I supposed to do in this situation? What am I supposed to do? And somehow he was moved, empowered, inspired to dare to call out and say, "Tabitha, get up." And the story says her eyes opened and she saw him and sat up. I think Peter was as amazed as everyone else. He had been used by the Spirit a few times already in the book of Acts to heal people, but the power to bring someone back from the dead was a whole nother level. No one except Jesus had done that to this point. In Bible study Tuesday night, talking about this story, we found ourselves talking about experiences we've had. Experiences of terrible sickness, of almost dying, of praying for someone we love to be healed. We talked about experiences that have made us aware of our own mortality, moments when the line between living and dying have been very, very thin. Times in prayer when we felt we were struggling with forces greater than ourselves as we sought for healing and for hope. None of us claim to have been empowered to bring someone back from the dead or even to have touched someone and made them suddenly healed as we hear about in the Bible stories. But I do think we do have a sense that there is power and purpose in our praying. Look at how much time we just spent sharing joys and concerns, praying with and for each other and for people we care about. Our young people, our children, get it. They feel it too. Have you seen how sometimes they want to, if they have something on their heart, they want us to know. They understand the importance of sharing these prayers together. Week after week, we gather here in hope. Holding on to faith, our praying matters. And sometimes, actually, often, it's quite often, we do get to see that prayers get answered. Adrian walked from her apartment today. Others of us know that, you know, just the variety of ways that we see that our praying for and with each other, for people we care about, makes a difference somehow. We are all part of this ministry of healing and helping one another. We don't always get answers in the ways we would hope, and yet still healing, recovery, reconciliation, renewal does happen. And we are part of it. In small ways we may feel, and yet our cards, our emails, our phone calls, our meals delivered, our rides given to someone else, our generous giving to offerings to around $6,000 we've given in response to what's happening in Ukraine. The time after time, the ways we see that this community is generous in giving. These are all part of the ways that we love and support one another and reach out and offer hope and healing to others. We are all part of this ministry of helping and healing that it's at the heart of being the church. The early church became known not primarily for miraculous healings like the one here. The early church became known as a community of love, a place of help and healing. That's what made them different. That's what drew people to them. They were radical because they were a community that welcomed the poor, a community that cared for widows. Early churches formed orphanages in a society when orphans were, and unwanted children were just as likely to be left out in the cold to die. They founded places of hospitality that came to be called hospitals, places of care for the sick and the dying. The role models in this story are Dorcas and Peter. But there have been millions, millions of unnamed, unknown saints of the church throughout the years who have all found their particular ways to be the loving, healing, helping hands of Christ. This is what it means to be the church. And all of us, all of you, are a part of this all the time. So I think here in 2022, as we're celebrating our 200 years as First Baptists, there's so many unnamed people who created saints in the windows, who built this church, who, not the building as much, who built this community over the years. Some of them you all remember that I don't know, but many we don't even know their names anymore, and yet their spirit is still here. Part of our community of love and care. And as we look forward, the question is always, what is God calling us to do now? How are we meant to respond to the particulars of 2022 and beyond? Who is there who needs our help? Who needs our hand of care? Who is there that needs healing that we can be a part of recovery, of renewal, of new life for them? God's Spirit is as alive in us as it was in Peter that day in Joppa. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? Amen. The Spirit of God, is that alive in us, that here for us? Let us go forth to live as God's people, to make a difference to the people around us. Amen.